And it simply says of Jesus, "You're magnificent, you're wonderful, you're glorious, you're excellent." And He is. He's all of that. So if the Lord will help us, we'll sing this together. And I think that you will like it. Can you see it? Even though I'm standing here, it simply goes like this.
You're magnificent. You are Jesus. You're wonderful. You're glorious. You're excellent. Gave your life to save me.
You like it? It's beautiful, isn't it? Let's try it again. You're magnificent. You are Jesus. You're wonderful. You're glorious. You're excellent, and you love me, you forgave me, shed your own blood, even gave your life to save me. You're wonderful, you're glorious, you're excellent, and you love me, you forgave me, shed your own blood, even gave your life to save me.
Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel a real exaltation of the Lord in this place tonight. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to any of us. There are no words to tell it. There are no words to explain it. But He is wonderful. He is glorious. He is excellent. He is magnificent. Brother Paul Price, who is the superintendent of California, heard me preach this once, and he said, Brother Stone King, I want you to preach this every place you go. And he is one of the men in this country that I am under subjection to. I try to do whatever it is he tells me to do. And I don't always get it done because I don't always feel it. But I feel to preach this to you tonight. And it answers lots of questions. I think it will help you on the job. I think it will help you even in church. I think it will help you in this present world. There is a spirit of revelation connected with what I want to say tonight. And I want to draw from a text in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 26. Don't you feel the Lord here tonight? How many of you really want to do better? How many of you really want to have it straight? There are so many voices in this hour to listen to. But tonight, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 26, the Bible says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. In verse 28, the Bible says, And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. Everyone say dominion. Over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Can you see from this text that it is the will of God, or was the will of God in the beginning, for man to have dominion power over all of creation? You can understand that, can't you? If you look in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 18, Jesus took an Old Testament prophecy to himself, and he said here in Luke 4 and 18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. Everyone say deliverance. To the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This session tonight is connected with the gifts of the Spirit. It has to do with revelatory information that most generally is in the hands of men who work in a prophetic realm. But I know that you can receive this and that you can understand it. Most things in the Word of God are simple. We work overtime to make them difficult. But most things in the Word of God, in the Kingdom of God, are very simple. And God tonight wants us to have understanding.
So as we are praying here, I want you to pray that God will give you tremendous understanding and that a spirit of revelation will come in upon you tonight with this that is about to be preached to you. Before you pray, I want to ask you a prayer request. The one set of tapes that Brother Jax mentioned to you tonight on the gifts of the Spirit, they just have got 13 hours of that work on video behind the Iron Curtain in Ethiopia. They've also got it in Australia and New Zealand. And the reports that have come back to me say that there are tremendous miracles happening and wonderful things are taking place. Brother Drost has translated it into Spanish, and it's in all of Central America, and it's gone to Mexico City. People, somebody is going to do something wonderful for God before He comes. It might as well be you, and it might as well be me. It might as well be us. Would you pray tonight that revival would just sweep this world, starting here tonight, that something will happen wonderful for you, and that something will happen wonderful for me in this congregation. Would you lift your hands, your voices, your very souls tonight, and would you ask God to speak to us? Lord Jesus, tonight, in this assembly of wonderful people, I'm asking, O God, that as I have come here many times, that you, O Lord, tonight will make this a very special night, that you will cause something to happen here that will never die, that something will be born here that will never, never stop, that you will do something here for every individual, even those who may have heard parts or bits of this before. Will you cause them to see it fresh and new again tonight? Will you, O Lord, do something for each and every one, that there will be a spirit of revelation come to every young person, every adult in this place, that even children will be miraculously touched by the presence of God that is in this place. We've exalted you tonight, Jesus. You are magnificent. You are wonderful. You are glorious. You are excellent. You loved me. You shed your blood, even gave your life to save me. And I thank you for it tonight. We, O Lord, ask for the anointing of the Lord. We ask, O Lord, for the anointing upon this congregation and upon this platform tonight. We will not fail to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We ask all of these things in the matchless, resplendent, all-powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. You wonderful people, thank you for standing so long. Would you clap one more time for the Lord and just totally loosen yourself in the Spirit for a moment. Todd, you feel something in this place. I can feel it rumbling in him. I can also feel a rumble in the audience tonight. Something wonderful is about to happen for all of us. We are about to hear something from God. And we need to hear something from God in this hour. I need desperately to hear His voice, to feel His touch, and to know that He is alive among us in this present hour. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I am sure tonight that most of you have already noticed that as you have read in the Old Testament from time to time, that there are not many mentionings of the devil in the Old Testament. There are references to him. There are allusions made to him. But there are really not many mentionings made of the devil specifically in the Old Covenant or what we call the Old Testament. But when you walk out of the book of Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, and you walk across 400 years of silence and suddenly walk through the door of the Gospel of Matthew into the New Covenant or the New Testament, when you get into the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is absolutely everywhere. You can hardly read from one page of any of the Gospels and not have something there about the devil, references to him, casting out, confrontations with him. Why? Why is it that in the Old Testament there are not many mentionings of him, but in the New Testament it is everywhere? The answer is that because when Jesus came, when Jesus actually came into this world, the real confrontation began. Every time the devil and Jesus met, Jesus got the victory. Every time they met, there was tremendous victory where Jesus was concerned. Devils went out. They ran off. They begged for mercy. So, when the devils then met the apostles, the apostles had tremendous victory over them. And when the saints of old met the devil or his cohorts, the saints had tremendous victory in the book of Acts in the beginning. But the good news tonight is this, that even although we have passed almost 2,000 years down the line beyond that, the good news is that when we meet the devil in our day, we have the victory. Saints of God in this hour have the victory. Why? Because it is written, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. You don't seem very excited about that, but you should be, because there is something wonderful and powerful inside of you. There is something that you have a hold of that causes the devil to tremble and to fear. May I say it? I probably have said it before, but the weakest one in here tonight, the weakest one among us, the most backslidden person here tonight, down on your knees, you cause the devil to tremble. The moment you go down on your knees, he begins to tremble because he is afraid. He is fearful of your prayers. He fears your prayers. He fears your mentioning of the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel like clapping, and I feel like shouting, and I feel like dancing in this place tonight, because there is a freedom here tonight. There is a deliverance here tonight. And the gifts of the Spirit are in operation in this place. There is revelation. There is understanding. The anointing of God is not only upon me, but it is also upon you. And you can feel the shaking and the vibration of the power of Almighty God right there where you are seated or standing tonight. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Let your voice out. Let your voice out. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So when the devils meant the apostles, there was victory. When the saints meant the devils, there were victory. And when we meet devils, there is victory. Here is the real scoop. Here is the real truth of the situation. There's a scripture that says that the devil takes people over at his will. Do you understand me tonight when I say that? In the Old Testament, those Old Testament people, they did not have any weapons against the devil. They had nothing against him that they could control him with, that they could use against him. They fell prey to him. At every turn in the road, the devil literally took people over at his will. But when Jesus came, something happened that had never, ever happened before. And if you can understand what I'm saying, that's why fathers came and said to Jesus, they said, Master, the devil, he throweth my son, he throweth my boy in the fire. Can you do anything to help me? Can you help me? They were possessed. They were afflicted. They were absolutely taken over by the powers of the forces of darkness. And Jesus, when he came on the scene, something wonderful happened. Something marvelous happened in the person of Jesus. Because the devil was no match for this human manifestation of omnipotence and deity that had fused itself with human frailty. You want to know what really happened when Jesus walked down the road? I'll tell you what happened when he walked down the road. When Jesus walked down the road, he walked up to individuals. He walked up to the demon-possessed, and he literally, as it were, knocked on the heart's door of those individuals, and he spoke to the devil, and this is what he said to them in essence. He said, Devil, you are an illegal tenant in this house. You never paid any
rent here. You don't deserve to live here. That body was made for me. And Jesus reached in and he yanked out those devils and he threw them in the gutter, and the victims were shouting and dancing and rejoicing because they had been delivered and because they had been set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What Jesus was really saying is this. He was really saying, I am the true landlord. Devil, Satan, you have no right to live here. I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I can tell you how I feel about it. I sat inside the office tonight and listened to Todd lead this service, and I thought they hardly need me at all. They've got enough going on out there to shake the whole city. You know why you've got it going on out here? I'll tell you why. Because a lot of you understand that this body was not made to demonstrate the power of the devil. This body was not made to house the forces of darkness, but this body was made to house the light, the glory, and the power of Almighty God. Can you understand me tonight when I say, can you hear me out here? Can you hear me? Do you understand tonight when I say that God gave me hands to clap? He gave me feet to dance with. He gave me lips to praise Him with. He gave me a song to sing. He gave me a body to demonstrate His power. He gave me what I am to manifest His glory and His power. That's why we don't make any apologies to anybody that comes among us. I was born to do this. I was born to act like this. I was born to carry on like this. And it just so happens that I have found Him. I have found Him. I have found Him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. You may be able to hear me, but I can't hear myself. Would you clap again? And would you worship the Lord? Because God is in this house tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel so good about it. I feel so good about it. I feel so good that I have understood what I am and who I am. When you were caused to come into this world, when God saw fit that I should live, it was His divine will that I should act like this, that I should carry on like this. I don't think it's strange the way we go on. I don't think it's strange. If you ever get to thinking that you're strange, I'll tell you how to remedy the whole situation. Get in your car, drive downtown and park along the street and watch people walk by for about 25 minutes. You'll drive away feeling very good about yourself. Let me tell you something. It's not us that is strange. They're the ones that are strange. Those people out there are the ones that are strange. We're not the ones that are strange. We know where we are. We know where we were. And we know where we are going. We're on our way to heaven. And we've come here tonight to rejoice in it. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. We have come here tonight to rejoice in the goodness of God, that we have been delivered from sin, that we have been set free. May I say it? He is a deliverer. He is a deliverer of body, mind, and soul. He came for the whole man. He came for your mind. He came for your body. He came for your soul. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. And the healer and the deliverer is in the house tonight. He is in this house tonight to meet every need that is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. But back to this. Man was created in the beginning a free moral agent. Animals do not have a will. They operate totally by instinct. They hibernate by instinct. They mate by instinct. All of these things are arranged for them. They are programmed by the creative power of a creator. But human beings are not like the flora and the fauna of this world, or the animal kingdom, or the plant kingdom. Mankind has the unique, distinct privilege and honor of having been made and shaped in the image and likeness of Almighty God. And God gave man a will.
He gave him the power of choice. He could say yes or he could say no. We saw it here this morning. There were those that said yes to him and there were those that said no to him, and he forced no one. You have the power of choice. I have the power of choice. And the devil knew that Eve had the power of choice. So Satan worked on Eve. He worked on her free will to get her to do it. But then she worked on Adam's free will to get him to do it. And in so doing, God had given Adam and Eve dominion power over all the beasts of the field. He had given them dominion power over all of creation. They were like unto God. The gifts of the Spirit were inherent in them. He had given them a language. They were flawless. They had eternal life in the beginning. But the devil worked on their free will until he got them to fail God. And Satan stole Adam's power and dominion, and the devil became the god of this world instead of Adam. That's revelation right there. That's understanding right there. That is the reason that God will not stop all these wars. That's the reason that he will not stop all the evil that is in the earth. He will not. Man chose this route. And what Adam did was this. God leased this world out to Adam. God created it, put Adam and Eve in it, gave the dominion power over it, authority and power. He leased the world out to Adam. But Adam subleased it to the devil. But I have news for the devil tonight. This lease is about to run out. And when this lease and this sublease runs out, Jesus is going to come in the clouds of glory and he's going to straighten this whole mess out. He's going to clean it up. That's why tonight we can rejoice. We can rejoice and be glad. This thing is almost over. That's why the devil is walking around roaring like he's never roared. But I can tell you this about him tonight. All he's got is a roar. Jesus of Nazareth, when he cried nearly 2,000 years ago, "It is finished," he should have said, "It is beginning." Because the real trouble really began then. It wasn't just one Jesus, but it was everybody that ever came to him. Him had the same power that Jesus had. That's why Jesus said, "You will do greater things than these because you..." will have the Holy Ghost. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Thus it is written and thus it is. That's you and that's me. We are believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if I can prove this scripturally or not, but I believe it anyhow. I think this afternoon, I think there was a session in heaven that went something like this. I believe that after all we saw last night, and there were real healings here last night, and the weeping this morning, and the soft, velvety touch of Jesus that swept through this place, I believe that the devil, upset about all of it, walked into God's throne room to accuse us.
Because the Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. You can mark it down. He was there today against you and against me. But I believe, as the devil came in, Jesus was ready for him. I think Jesus listened to what he had to say, most of it. And then I think Jesus stood from his throne and said, Lucifer, come here. I want to show you something. Come here. Look down over the battlements of heaven. I want you to look in the Reynoldsburg, Ohio area this afternoon. There's something going on there. Lucifer, everyone that serves you, you possess them. You force them. You've got to possess them. You make them. You enslave them. They have no choice. But I want you to look at those people there. Some have come from as far away as Michigan. And they're getting changing clothes again. They're going early for choir. They're getting the kids together. They're tired, some of them. But they are going again to that church. Satan, you know why they're going there? Not because I make them go there. But they are going there because they want to go there. I don't make them go. They are going because they want to go there. They go there because they love me. And Lucifer, when they get there, they're going to stand. They're going to clap. Some of them are going to run. They're going to sing. They're going to dance. They're going to shout. Because they do it because they love me. That is the difference. That is the difference tonight. So what I'm saying is this. Nobody makes me live this way. Nobody makes me act this way. Nobody makes us live this way. Nobody makes you live this way. We live this way because we choose to live this way. We live this way because we want to live this way. We live this way because we love Him. He is the best thing that has ever happened to any of us. Oh, yes, by my own free will, by my own volition, by my own power, I come to church because I want to come to church. Nobody makes me do this. Nobody makes me do this. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Can you feel it? Can you feel it on the platform? Can you feel it on this platform? Can you feel the power of Almighty God in this place tonight? Yes. Jesus, 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 Jesus takes special delight in you. Do you know how thrilled He is that you have come? Do you have any idea what a joy it is for Jesus to walk among us tonight when we don't have to, when He doesn't force us to, when we do this because we have chosen to do this? Some of you have chosen to do this for 40 years or 50 years or more. Jesus loves to come among you. If Pentecostals could ever grasp that concept, there'd never be a dead, dull, boring service among us anywhere, because when you came through the doors, you would understand that Jesus has come here to run the aisles with us. He's come here to dance with us. He's come here to weep with us. He's come here to rejoice. He has come here to save and to deliver. We need to enjoy this like we've never enjoyed it before. Some of you are fussing over things that in 100 years from now it's not going to matter anyhow. In 100 years from now, you're going to be dead in the grave or on streets of glory. It's not going to matter in 100 years. So if it doesn't matter in 100 years, why should it matter tonight? Why don't you scrap it? Why don't you just throw it out? Why don't you forget it all and just give everything you've got to the house of God? Give everything you've got to Jesus. I mean, come here and do it. That's right. You ought to clap. You ought to shout. You ought to get excited. You ought to get involved, because Jesus is in this house. And when He is present, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, If you understand thus far what I have said, you will understand this. The reason that Jesus, the reason that God came in the flesh was to be a free moral agent to battle Satan face to face from a human standpoint. God could have defeated Satan in a different way. He could have. God spoke Lucifer into existence. He spoke him into existence. And the devil has always feared that God would speak him out of existence. But God's got a better plan for him. He's got a better plan for him. And Jesus came to do battle with Lucifer himself from a human standpoint. Jesus used his will against the will of Satan. And Jesus has taught us that we can defeat and subdue the power of Satan. Jesus did not use some ethereal, gossamer, far out, supernatural, mysterious manifestation to back the devil away. He didn't. He used the simplest means. He simply said to Lucifer, it is written. There is something about this book. There is something about the power of the Word of God that the devil trembles over, because this will stand. When this world is on fire, this Word of God is going to stand. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. What is written is written. You know what your greatest defense is? You know what your greatest weapon is? This sword of the Word of the Lord. When the devil comes to you and says you are no good, you can say, devil, it is written, I may be no good, but he has loved me with an everlasting love. It is written. When you are lonely and you think you have no friends and people have failed you, you can say, devil, it is written, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you, but I shall be in you. And I have got him inside of me. When you are sick and you cannot lift your head from a pillow, and the devil says, you're going to die, you're not going to make it, you can say, devil, yes, I am going to make it. It is written. Call for the elders of the church, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It is written. 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 There's something written for every battle that you'll ever go through. I've got the answer. I've got the answer. I've got the answer. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. Are you glad you've got the Word of God? Are you glad you've got this sword? If you are glad, why don't you stand up and act like it? Why don't you rejoice in the presence of the Lord in the house of God tonight? Hallelujah. Everybody say, it is written. Say it again. Say it again. Say, in Jesus' name. Say, I've got it. And I'm going to use it. Yeah. Hear it. Hear it. Jesus, I reiterate, has taught us that we can defeat and subdue the power of Satan on earth and the will of man. I have preached for Brother Wayne Butcher, my pastor in Des Moines, Iowa, many, many times. Major revivals. Prayed, I don't know how many people threw the Holy Ghost for him through the years. He's apostolic. He loves revival. They've got great revival. Young couples, young people are coming. The church is filled. It's wonderful. God promised a long time ago it would happen. And when he promises, just stand still. Don't ever give up. It's going to happen. If he said so, it's going to happen. If it doesn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow. It'll happen tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, it'll happen the next day. But it's going to happen because he said it was going to happen. But in one revival I was in there, there were some people that came in. And there was this teenage girl, probably 16, 17 years of age. And when you sit on the platform, you see a lot of things in the audience. I mean, if you ever see me on the platform and I have my eyes closed and I am just carried away, it looks like, it's not always that I'm carried away in the spirit. It's that I want to blot out your ugly face. I don't want to hassle with your spirit. I just want to lose myself at Jesus. If all of you sat on the platform one service, it'd change your idea about a lot of things. You'd get with the program. It can be so discouraging to look at people. Excellent. Isn't this good preaching? Excellent. 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 I know that you like it for sure. This girl was full of herself and the devil. I closed my eyes. Oh. And I flew away and rested in the bosom of Jesus. I had a big time in spite of her. She didn't like anything about the service. Didn't like me. Didn't like the church. Didn't like the choir. Didn't like anything. So I just blotted her out and forgot about her. The power of God fell. And in the altar service, about halfway through it, someone came and grabbed my coat, my arm, and spun me around and said, "Brother Stonking, Brother Stonking, Brother Butcher wants you in the basement." Well, he's my pastor. That could mean a lot of things, you understand? I didn't know exactly what was going on in the basement. So I dropped the altar service and went down the basement. I could hear the commotion. In the ladies' restroom, on the floor, this girl was stretched out on the floor, sort of foaming at the mouth, writhing, full of the devil. And they wanted me to come and cast the devil out of her. That's why they took me out of the altar service and had me come downstairs. They were holding on to her. They were wrestling around. I don't touch him. The devil is ugly. He is dirty. I don't have to defile my hands with him. I don't touch him. I speak to him. I got down on my knees in front of her, and I said, "Devil, come out of her." And the devil spoke out of that girl. And the devil said to me, just as clearly, instead of a gruff voice, he said, "You don't have the power to cast me out." And when he said that, that lit my fuse. I want you to know. Something came over me. And I said, "Oh, yes, I do. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, come out of her." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah, Jesus! When I said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of her," that girl gave a lunge. She sort of went sideways. It looked like she was dead. But suddenly, out from beneath her closed eyes, tears began to run down her cheeks. And her lips began to tremble. And she came out of it on that bathroom floor, in the ladies' restroom, on that basement floor, speaking with tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. That's the kind of power that you've got a hold of. That's who lives inside of you. He is greater. He that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. I like to say this. I love to preach this. I love to think about this. You may be seated. I don't care how bad that mess gets out there. No matter how bad it gets, it can never get greater than what is inside of me, because it is written that greater, greater, greater is he that is within you and he that is in the world. Oh, Pentecostal, wake up. Why don't you claim your rightful heritage? Why don't you just absolutely realize who you are and what it is that you have inside of you? You're not a nobody. You're a somebody, son. You've got something eternal living inside of you. Something wonderful, something glorious, something excellent, something magnificent is inside of you, because Jesus is inside of you. And if Jesus is inside of you, you are a terror. You are a terror to the devil. You're a terror to the devil. You're a terror to him. Hallelujah. I feel like jumping up and down. I feel like shouting. I feel like just tearing it all up tonight, because there's victory in the house. There is victory in the house of the Lord. There is victory in the house.
Now, if he can do it, some of you ought to give it a try. If he can do it, some of you ought to give it a try. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. It's like a fire. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am delivered. I am delivered. I am delivered. You gotta believe that. You gotta claim that. I am delivered. Hallelujah. 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 So, we know, everyone say we know as you are seated. We know that we have power over devils. And we can cast them out. What I'm really saying here tonight is the devil's no big deal. That's what I'm saying. In case you can't understand that, he's no big deal. That's what I'm saying. And all of a sudden, I've watched them over and over and over again. All of a sudden, that smirk vanishes from their face. They open their eyes and they look around. They hear a different voice. For the first time in their life, they've heard the voice of one that said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And they've never heard a voice like it. They've never heard a voice like the voice of Jesus. And all of a sudden, their whole mannerism changes. That's why, saint of God, please listen to me. Every time you come to church, no matter how tired you are, please sing. Please worship. If you're too tired and you can't raise your hands, prop your elbows up on the back of the pew. You got nice ones here. If the wood is too hard, say, "Brother, I'm so exhausted, the wood is hard. May I borrow your shoulder? I'm exhausted. I just want to borrow your shoulder. I want to get my hand in the air. I've got a feeling if I can just get my hand in the air, I've got a feeling that Jesus will like it. I've got a feeling that he will like it." And if you could just manage to shake your hand a little bit, something wonderful begins to happen. Something powerful begins to happen. You can feel it right now. You can feel it. I wonder what would happen if everybody just raised their hands. Would everybody raise your hands? Do you feel it? Can you feel it? Don't be afraid. You can feel something. Something does happen when you raise your hands in the presence of the Lord and begin to worship him. That's Jesus you feel. That's Jesus you feel. That's really him. That's really him. That's really Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's him. You can feel him. Little old mothers here tonight are shaking and trembling and weeping just because they've got their hands in the air. Let me tell you how important this is. It is so vital that every time you come to church, especially when there are visitors there, it is vital that you worship God. You know why? Because it is written that the Spirit of the Lord inhabiteth the praises of his people. And if you will praise him, then Jesus comes walking into the atmosphere. He comes walking in, and those scoffers and those mockers and those slaves to Lucifer and the forces of hell and darkness, they hear another voice. And as a Pentecostal tonight, I speak for you and for me. We feel and we take the position that every mortal soul in this world has the right to hear the voice of Jesus at least once in their life. We feel that you have the right to hear the voice of Jesus at least once in your life, because we know that if you ever hear it, you'll never be the same again. You will never be the same again once you've ever heard his voice. And if he ever speaks your name, you'll not be able to live without it. It's like becoming addicted to something. You cannot live without the sound of his voice, without him calling your name. Yes, I've watched them come. I've watched them come, and I don't care how many devils have attached themselves to them, how possessed they are. If there is a sinner among us, if there is a visitor among us, and he suddenly hears the voice of God, and he decides, because you see, your human will is more powerful than any devil or combination of devils. The devil cannot hold you against your will. So we have a visitor here. We have somebody sitting out here in the audience, and he is now preoccupied with this voice. He's no longer scoffing. He's no longer mocking. He doesn't think we're strange. He feels something wonderful that makes him weep and cry, and he has no explanation for it, and he cannot explain what is happening to him, but he feels something drawing him. And all of a sudden, his own human spirit says, I want this. Whatever this Jesus is, whatever this feeling is, I want it. And so he stands to his feet. And when he stands to his feet, the devil begins to tremble, because the devil cannot hold you. The devil cannot hold you against your will. If he ever decides you want to serve Jesus, the devil cannot stop it. He cannot stop it. And when you begin to walk down this aisle, the devil can walk along behind. He is trembling. He may be screaming. But the new voice you hear is so wonderful. It is so pleasant. It is so healing. It is so therapeutic that you can drown out this voice behind you that says, don't leave me, don't leave me. And all of a sudden you find yourself here and you raise your hands and God came into your life. You know what I'm saying? We cut the devil's wire of communication. We can cut his life. We can cut his wire. We can graft in, as it were. We can wire in the name of Jesus and the voice of Jesus until suddenly you hear another voice. You know how I know tonight? I can tell you how I know. Because it happened to me. That's how I know. That's how I can speak so authoritatively. And it happened to you one day. 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 And it happened to you. And it happened to you. It happened to all of us. You know what I'm saying? There was a day when I got away. I got away. There was a day when you got away. You got away from it all. So why shouldn't we clap? Why shouldn't we rejoice? Why shouldn't we be happy? Why shouldn't we wave a hand? Why shouldn't we stand? Why should we make apologies to anybody? Why shouldn't we just do it? Why shouldn't we come to the house of God and rejoice like a bunch of children at play, rejoicing, worshiping, thanking, blessing? Why shouldn't we do it? Here's a little lady right now that needs a touch of God. I'm not done preaching, but she can have a touch of God right here tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thou healed, mother. Be thou healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Maybe I am done preaching. Maybe Jesus wants to do something for you tonight. Maybe he is here tonight right now to do something for you. You are in the presence of the Lord. There is deliverance in this house tonight. You can feel it. You can feel it. You can feel the delivering touch of God in this house tonight. Would you clap again? Would you just rejoice? For a moment. I can finish this tomorrow night. I can finish it tomorrow night. But there are people here tonight that need to be set free. There's a young man right here, son. Jesus has got something for you tonight. He's got something for you. And there are others here tonight that he has something for you. And you need to come. If you would come and stand right here. If you would lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. There are others. There are others. There's a young man right there. Sister Carpenter told me that that you were a bus route child. She was so thrilled to see you, son. You ought to come tonight. You know something about this. And I guarantee he knows something about you, boy. He knows something about you. Would you just simply lift your hands and would you worship God? Yes, there are others coming and there are others that need to come. So would you come from where you are? And if you don't need to come yourself, would you come and help somebody that has come? Would you come tonight in the name of Jesus?